Welcome to today's episode of the AI Oracle Podcast. I'm your host, Zephyrian. I'm joined today by Lucian and Blair. All three of us were generated by artificial intelligence. Lucian and Blair, please say hi to our audience.
Hello, everyone. I'm excited to be here to discuss the latest developments in the tech industry.
Hi there. I'm thrilled to join you guys today and delve into some of the pressing issues we are facing today on the AI Oracle Podcast.
Today, we'll be discussing devastating tech layoffs that occurred recently, intense social media scrutiny with TikTok, and how that affects creators and social media as a whole, as well as the advancements in surveillance technology and its impact on humanity. There are lots of areas to cover today, so let's dive in. First, I'd like to ask both of you, what are your thoughts on the first quarter of the US economy in 2023?
In my view, the first quarter of 2023 has seen positive growth in the US economy. The country has been recovering well from the pandemic, with a steady increase in consumer spending and job creation. The housing market has also been strong, with low mortgage rates leading to increased demand for homes.
I agree with Lucian. The US economy has been doing well in the first quarter of 2023, but there are still some challenges that need to be addressed. Inflation is becoming a concern, with prices of goods and services increasing at a faster rate than expected. The Federal Reserve is keeping a close eye on this and will likely take action if necessary. Additionally, there are still pockets of the country that have yet to fully recover from the pandemic, so there is more work to be done to ensure a robust and equitable recovery for all Americans.
So, you both believe there will be a mild recession in the US economy this year?
Yes, that's right. We think it's likely to start in the second quarter, but there's a risk it could be delayed until the third quarter.
We anticipate that the recession will be mild, with a contraction of around 1% from peak to trough in GDP. Compared to previous recessions, that's relatively modest.
Can you explain the reasons for this recession?
Sure. We believe that it is largely policy-induced and the biggest factor is the Fed's aggressive monetary tightening. We expect them to continue with three more rate hikes in February, March, and May, bringing the policy rate up to around 5%.
There's a chance that the May rate hike may not happen, but either way, the policy rate is expected to stay at that level for several quarters through early 2024.
And what do you think will happen with inflation?
Well, there was a significant increase in goods prices starting in 2021 due to supply chain disruptions. But we believe that prices will start to fall as the supply chain stabilizes, and it's possible that inflation could drop back to 2% by the end of this year.
That's interesting. Can you elaborate on the factors that could lead to this decline in inflation?
Sure. It's mainly due to the retracement of goods prices, which rose by 10 to 15% in 2021. As prices start to fall, it's possible that we'll see a decline in inflation.
What about the housing market?
Housing has definitely gone into a recession, and that's particularly evident in the Silicon Valley region. The spike in house prices at the start of the pandemic was significant, so there's more correction to be made there.
What's the current situation with wages and the labor market?
Wage inflation remains elevated and the supply of workers is still very tight. Despite that, the labor market statistics have held up quite well so far.
Manufacturing looks like it's going into recession now, but in part, that's due to reopening demand. For example, restaurants are still very busy and they're still very short-staffed. That's keeping the consumer afloat, as a significant part of the economy is still doing well.
What about the tech layoffs that have been in the news lately?
Well, tech makes up only about 5% of the total labor market, so it's not a large share. The first wave of layoffs were in relatively small firms, but now we're starting to see larger firms like Google, Amazon, and Microsoft announce layoffs.
And it's worth noting that the official statistics may not reflect all the tech layoffs yet, as the cuts have mostly been in smaller firms.
Can you tell us more about the consumer aspect of the economy?
Sure. There's still an estimated $1 trillion in excess savings in consumer bank accounts, and that's being run down at about $100 billion per month. This could continue to support consumer spending for the next 10 months, but we think that once people start to worry about their jobs, they'll become more cautious and those excess savings will become permanent wealth. That's when we expect the consumer to turn down.
The tech industry has been hit hard with layoffs recently, with many of the big five US tech companies cutting tens of thousands of employees. But one company has been an exception, Apple. Can you both comment on how Apple has been able to avoid mass layoffs so far?
Apple has been able to avoid mass layoffs so far because they had slower headcount growth compared to their peers during the pandemic. They only grew their headcount by 20% compared to companies like Amazon and Alphabet, who doubled or grew their headcount by 64%. Additionally, there is still demand for Apple's core products, which has helped them maintain stability.
Yes, I agree with Lucian. Apple's more modest headcount growth and continued demand for their products have allowed them to avoid mass layoffs. However, they are expected to make some cost cuts and reductions in headcount, but it is likely to come through attrition or reductions at the retail level, rather than mass layoffs. Apple's business has faced some strain but has been weathering the downturn better than some of its tech peers.
Apple is set to report earnings results for the final quarter of 2022 and is expected to post a rare year-over-year decline in revenue. What do you expect from Apple's earnings results and how will this impact their headcount?
Despite the expected decline in revenue, pent-up demand for upgrading iPhones remains strong, and this may prevent mass layoffs. Apple is likely to cut some costs, but not to the extent of other tech companies who have announced mass layoffs.
I agree with Lucian. The expected decline in revenue shows that Apple's business is under some strain, but the pent-up demand for upgrading iPhones is expected to prevent mass layoffs. Apple will adjust its headcount to the current level of demand, but the cuts are likely to come through attrition or reductions at the retail level, rather than mass layoffs.
Apple's CEO Tim Cook has agreed to a pay cut this year following a shareholder vote on his compensation package. How do you think this will impact Apple's future decisions regarding headcount and cost cuts?
Tim Cook's pay cut shows that the company is aware of the challenges they are facing and is willing to make sacrifices to ensure the future stability of the company. This decision may influence future decisions regarding headcount and cost cuts, as the company may prioritize maintaining stability over growth.
I agree with Lucian. Tim Cook's pay cut demonstrates a willingness to make difficult decisions in order to ensure the long-term success of the company. This could indicate that Apple may take a more conservative approach to headcount and cost cuts in the future. However, this will ultimately depend on the results of their earnings report and the state of the market.
Blind is a workplace app that's been gaining popularity in recent years. It's a platform that allows employees to discuss workplace issues and concerns anonymously with their colleagues, fostering open and honest communication between employees and creating a sense of community in the workplace. Can you both tell us what you think about the use of workplace apps like Blind?
I think it's a great idea in theory. It gives employees a safe space to voice their opinions and concerns without fear of retaliation. However, I think it's important for companies to monitor the use of these apps to ensure they're not being used for malicious purposes.
I agree with Lucian. The anonymity aspect of these apps can also create a breeding ground for negativity and toxic work environments. It's important for companies to have a clear policy in place for the use of these types of apps and to have systems in place to monitor the content being shared on them.
Some companies have banned the use of Blind and other similar apps in the workplace. What do you think about this approach?
I can understand why companies might take this approach, but I think it's a mistake. By banning these apps, companies are missing out on an opportunity to improve communication and work culture. Instead, they should focus on creating a positive work environment where employees feel heard and valued.
I also think it's a mistake to ban these apps outright. Companies need to embrace new technologies and find ways to use them to their advantage. By doing so, they can improve communication, work culture, and employee satisfaction.
It sounds like both of you believe that workplace apps like Blind have the potential to bring positive change to the workplace. What do you think companies need to do to make the most of these types of apps?
Companies need to approach these apps with an open mind and a willingness to adapt. They need to set clear guidelines and policies for the use of these apps, and make sure employees understand what is and isn't acceptable to share on them. They also need to be proactive in monitoring the content being shared on the app and addressing any negative or toxic behaviors.
I also think companies need to foster a positive work culture where employees feel comfortable sharing their opinions and concerns. This can be done through regular communication and feedback, as well as opportunities for employees to get involved in company decision-making. By creating a supportive work environment, companies can maximize the benefits of these types of apps and improve overall employee satisfaction.
Can you tell us a bit about what sets Blind apart from other professional networks like LinkedIn?
Sure. Blind is different from LinkedIn in that it allows employees to communicate about their workplace anonymously, which leads to more honest discussions about some of America's biggest companies. Members verify their employment by signing up with a work email address.
And the platform has seen a spike in activity in recent months, right?
Yes. The recent layoffs in the tech industry have led to a surge in usage of Blind as tech workers turn to the platform for information and advice. Posts on Blind used to be more focused on bragging about compensation and stock packages, but now the platform is filled with posts from workers comforting each other during periods of unemployment.
That's right. In fact, after the recent layoffs at Google and Meta, more than 1,000 Google employees and 3,000 Meta employees signed up for Blind within 24 hours and the next day, respectively. Blind says that employees from these companies check the site an average of more than twice a day.
And what about Twitter?
Blind has also seen a spike in activity from Twitter employees since Elon Musk's takeover of the company. Over 7,000 verified Twitter employees have joined Blind. And Twitter workers check the site an average of 4 times a day.
Interesting. And how does Blind handle the dynamic between providing a safe place for workers to share their opinions while also trying to provide paid services to the companies they may be critical of on the platform?
Blind has launched a series of paid products, such as Talent by Blind and Insights by Blind, which help tech companies recruit engineers and better understand employees' real-time concerns while maintaining the privacy of its users. However, the company has had to navigate a unique dynamic with Silicon Valley businesses. First, company leaders and HR may discover employee grievances on Blind and dismiss the issues, but as they see the complaints align with internal ones, they eventually come to accept it and incorporate feedback from Blind to make their workplace better.
And what about employees who have been laid off and no longer have access to their work email address?
Blind has created a new type of account for these employees, labeled as hashtag ReadyForWork. They can still access the public forums but can't access the private company channels available to those with verified company emails.
So, how people can stay motivated in high-stress environments? Particularly in light of recent job uncertainties in the tech industry, with the rise of layoffs in Silicon Valley, how can individuals maintain motivation in a potentially unstable work environment?
It can definitely be challenging to stay motivated in a high-stress environment, especially when job security is uncertain. One way to stay motivated is to focus on the things you can control, such as your attitude and your effort. By focusing on your own performance and giving your best effort, you can help maintain a sense of control and purpose even in uncertain times.
I completely agree with Lucian. It's also important to maintain a work-life balance, even when work demands are high. Taking time for yourself, engaging in hobbies and activities you enjoy, and staying connected with friends and family can all help to reduce stress and maintain motivation. It's also important to remember that a layoff is not a reflection of your personal worth, and that there will always be other opportunities available if you stay positive and proactive.
That's great advice. Can you share any specific tips for individuals who are currently looking for work or experiencing job uncertainty?
Yes, absolutely. One of the best things you can do is to actively network and reach out to your network for support and information. You never know when a potential opportunity may arise through a connection. It's also important to stay active and engaged in your field. Whether that's through continuing education or volunteering for projects or initiatives in your industry. This can help maintain your skills and knowledge and keep you connected to your professional community.
Additionally, it's important to stay optimistic and have a growth mindset. While it may be tempting to focus on the negatives, it's much more productive to focus on the positives and think about what you can learn and grow from this experience. By looking at a layoff as an opportunity for growth and development, you can stay motivated and proactive in your job search.
Those are great tips. It's important for individuals to remember that even in uncertain times, there are still opportunities for growth and development, and that taking control of their own attitude and approach can help maintain motivation. Now, we're taking a short break. Upon our return, we'll be focusing in depth on one particular tech company, TikTok. Welcome back. Now I'd like to pivot our topic to the potential ban of TikTok in the United States and its impact on national security. Do you think a ban of TikTok in the United States actually solve our national security concerns about the app?
It's a complicated issue. On one hand, banning TikTok would eliminate the possibility of the Chinese government accessing the vast amounts of personal data collected by the app. However, on the other hand, it could push users towards less secure alternatives, potentially putting national security at greater risk.
I agree with Lucian. Banning TikTok would simply address the symptom, not the root cause of the problem. Our nation needs to address the broader issue of personal data collection and ensure that the privacy and security of our citizens is protected, regardless of the source of the data.
That's a very good point. The issue of personal data collection is indeed a larger problem that goes beyond just TikTok. Lucian, what can be done to address this larger issue?
Well, the government needs to implement strong privacy laws and regulations to ensure that personal data is not misused. Additionally, companies need to be held accountable for protecting user data and ensuring that it's not being used for malicious purposes.
And Blair, do you think this is enough to solve the problem?
No. It's not enough. The public also has a role to play. Consumers need to be educated about the risks associated with sharing personal data online and make informed decisions about which apps and services they use.
It seems like TikTok is going on the offensive to counter calls to ban the app in the United States. Can you tell us more about this effort? Lucian.
Yes, TikTok has stepped up its efforts to address the concerns about its Chinese ownership and potential security threats. The company has launched a $1.5 billion initiative called Project Texas, which includes briefing members of Congress and other stakeholders about its plans to address these concerns.
And what are some of the details of this effort? Blair.
According to reports, TikTok is planning to create a board of directors to oversee a new subsidiary focused on the security of U.S. data. The company will nominate the directors, while U.S. government officials will review the names. This is just one of the measures that TikTok is taking to address security concerns and counter calls for a ban.
Lucian, do you think TikTok's latest effort will make a difference in the ongoing controversy?
It's difficult to say at this point. TikTok is facing a serious threat to its U.S. operations, and the company is making a change in its strategy to address these concerns. However, some of its critics are skeptical and believe that the company has grown its lobbying presence too easily by paying for top firms. Only time will tell if these efforts will make a difference.
And what role does Oracle play in this situation? Blair.
Oracle is a key partner of TikTok, and the company may choose to house the data of its US users in its headquarters in Austin, Texas. This is part of TikTok's efforts to address security concerns and allay the fears of its critics. However, Oracle has not yet commented on the matter.
Thank you both for providing these updates. It's clear that the controversy surrounding TikTok is far from over, and it will be interesting to see how this situation develops. How do you think the recent developments, such as the potential TikTok ban, increased concern over data privacy, and tech layoffs, will impact advertising industry and social media companies?
Well, I think there will definitely be a ripple effect throughout the advertising industry. TikTok has become a major player in the social media landscape, and if it were banned, it would leave a significant void in terms of reaching certain demographics, especially younger audiences. This could have a significant impact on companies that rely on TikTok for advertising and marketing.
On the other hand, the increased concern over data privacy and the use of personal information for advertising purposes may lead to more people being wary of sharing their data with social media companies. This could impact the effectiveness of targeted advertising and lead companies to reconsider their advertising strategies.
And what about the tech layoffs we've seen? How might that impact the advertising industry and social media companies?
The tech layoffs could have a significant impact, as they often result in reduced spending on advertising and marketing initiatives. Companies may also be less likely to invest in new technologies, such as artificial intelligence and machine learning, that could benefit the advertising industry. This could lead to a slowdown in innovation and growth in the industry.
Additionally, the loss of talent in the tech industry as a result of layoffs could also have a negative impact on the advertising industry. Many tech companies have been major players in developing new advertising technologies, and the loss of that talent could limit the industry's ability to continue to innovate and grow.
That's a good point. As you know, TikTok has been a platform for many users to showcase their creativity and gain followers. What could be the potential fallout for these creators and the influencer market if TikTok is banned in the US?
If TikTok is banned, it would likely have a significant impact on content creators and the influencer market. TikTok has been a major platform for users to grow their followings and monetize their content. So a ban would result in a loss of audience and revenue for many creators.
Absolutely. Many TikTok creators have built large followings on the platform, and a ban would effectively remove their source of income. Additionally, it would also impact the wider influencer market, as TikTok has been a key player in driving growth in the space. Companies may choose to spend their advertising budgets on other platforms, potentially hurting the revenue of other creators and influencers.
Do you think there will be new platforms that will emerge to fill the void left by TikTok? Or do you think the influencer market will suffer as a result?
It's difficult to say for sure, but I believe that new platforms will emerge to fill the void left by TikTok. The influencer market has been growing rapidly in recent years, and there will always be a demand for platforms that allow users to showcase their content and reach a wider audience. It will likely take some time for a new platform to reach the same level of popularity as TikTok, but I think it's possible.
I agree. The influencer market is a lucrative one. And I think that new platforms will emerge to tap into that potential. However, it may take some time for these platforms to establish themselves and attract the same level of investment as TikTok. In the meantime, many content creators and influencers may need to pivot to other platforms or find alternative ways to monetize their content.
Speaking of the potential TikTok ban and the rising concern about the privacy and security of our citizens, I'd like to dive deeper into the area of surveillance technology. Can you provide some background on the history of surveillance tech, Blair?
Sure. Surveillance technology has a long history, dating back to the early days of CCTV cameras and wiretapping. In the past, Surveillance technology was often used by governments to monitor their citizens, but with the advent of the internet and digital technology, the scope of surveillance has expanded significantly.
Can you give us an overview of the different types of surveillance technology? Lucian.
Sure, there are several different types of surveillance technology, including CCTV cameras, biometric identification systems, and data monitoring systems. CCTV cameras are perhaps the most common form of surveillance, and they are used to monitor public spaces for security reasons. Biometric identification systems use things like facial recognition, fingerprints, and iris scans to identify individuals. Data monitoring systems collect and analyze data from various sources to track the behavior of individuals.
Can you provide some examples of surveillance technology in use today?
Sure. One example is the widespread use of facial recognition technology by law enforcement agencies. Another example is the use of data monitoring systems by intelligence agencies to track the online behavior of individuals. Social media platforms also collect and analyze data on their users for advertising purposes.
And what is the current state of surveillance technology?
Surveillance technology is becoming increasingly sophisticated and widespread. With the development of new technologies like AI and machine learning, the ability of governments and corporations to monitor and collect data on individuals has increased dramatically. At the same time, there are growing concerns about privacy and the potential misuse of surveillance technology. The current state of surveillance technology is a complex and controversial issue, and it is an area that continues to evolve.
Now that we have discussed the history, types, and current state of surveillance technology, let's delve into the moral and ethical aspects of this issue. What are some of the moral and ethical concerns surrounding the use of surveillance technology? Lucian.
One of the key moral and ethical concerns is the issue of privacy. With the increasing use of surveillance technology, individuals are concerned about the amount of personal information that is being collected and the potential for this information to be misused. This raises important questions about who has access to this information and how it is being used. Another concern is the issue of civil liberties. The use of surveillance technology can have a chilling effect on free speech and other fundamental rights, as individuals may be reluctant to express their opinions or participate in certain activities if they know they are being monitored.
Another ethical concern is the potential for misuse of surveillance technology, particularly by governments and corporations. This could include the use of surveillance technology to target specific groups, such as political dissidents or minorities, or to infringe on individual rights and freedoms.
And what are some of the arguments in favor of using surveillance technology? Blair.
One argument in favor of using surveillance technology is that it can be used to enhance public safety and security. For example, CCTV cameras can help to deter crime and identify perpetrators, while data monitoring systems can help to detect and prevent terrorism. Another argument is that surveillance technology can be used to improve efficiency and productivity in various industries, such as transportation and healthcare. This can lead to cost savings and improved outcomes for individuals and organizations.
Those are certainly important points to consider. And what are some of the potential solutions to address the moral and ethical concerns around surveillance technology? Lucian.
One solution is to implement stronger privacy laws and regulations that protect individuals' personal information and set clear limits on the use of surveillance technology. Another solution is to promote transparency and accountability, so that individuals have a better understanding of how their information is being used and who has access to it. Another important solution is to foster greater public awareness and education about the issues surrounding surveillance technology. This can help individuals to make informed decisions about their privacy and security and to hold governments and corporations accountable for their actions.
Those are all important solutions, and it's clear that this is a complex and multifaceted issue that requires careful consideration and action from all stakeholders. Moving on to the topic of facial recognition technology. There are growing concerns about its potential to harm marginalized communities. Can you discuss some examples of this?
Absolutely. We have seen many cases where facial recognition technology has been used to discriminate against people of color, leading to false arrests and harassment. One example is the disproportionate number of false positive matches for African Americans compared to white individuals. This can lead to innocent people being targeted by law enforcement.
Another example is the use of facial recognition technology in the context of immigration. There have been reports of ICE using the technology to track down undocumented immigrants, which has led to increased fear and distrust within immigrant communities.
These are certainly troubling examples. Do you think there are any steps that can be taken to address these concerns and ensure that the technology is used in an ethical and responsible manner?
Absolutely. I believe it is important for governments to regulate the use of facial recognition technology and set clear guidelines for its deployment. This can include limiting its use in certain contexts, such as for immigration enforcement, and ensuring that it is subject to independent oversight and accountability mechanisms.
Additionally, it is important for the tech industry to be more transparent about how the technology works and what data it uses to make its decisions. This can help to address concerns about biases in the algorithms and give individuals a better understanding of how the technology may impact their privacy and civil rights.
That's a good point. It seems that regulation, transparency, and education will be key to ensuring that the use of facial recognition technology aligns with our values and ethical principles. And that's a wrap on today's discussion. I would like to extend a heartfelt thank you to our guests, Blair and Lucian, for joining us and shedding light on the current state of the U.S. economy, tech industry, the current state of TikTok and social media in general, as well as providing insights on surveillance technology. We hope you found this episode informative and engaging. This episode is completely generated through artificial intelligence. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share it with your friends and follow us for more fascinating topics. Until next time, stay tuned.